Good evening. Welcome to New Vision Fellowship's weekly worship service. We meet each Saturday night at 6 p.m., and I'm glad that you are joining us here on our internet service. We normally meet on Saturday evenings, and we are now continuing that tradition here on Facebook during this time of social distancing. I am Pastor Carlene Nisley. I am the lead pastor of our church that's located in Hillsboro, Oregon. I want to welcome you, whether you are someone who attends our church each Saturday evening, or whether you happened upon us on Facebook, or if you're a friend who is visiting with us tonight. I am glad that you are here. You will get to sit back and experience a time of worship through the Word with some teaching and inspiration, time of worshiping through giving and prayer, and a time of worshiping through response. I would like to encourage you to just take that deep breath that reminds us we're alive, that allows us to spend some time relaxed and present in the moment, and worship with us as we enjoy each other's fellowship this evening. God bless you.
Good evening, New Vision family. I hope that you are all doing well on this first Saturday in May. Crazy that it is May already. We are beginning the fifth month of the year 2020. When I imagined what this year would look like, this certainly wasn't it. I imagined working, normal grocery runs, taking the kids to school, but here we are. It has been a month and a half since we all started sheltering in place, a month and a half of not seeing friends, and a month and a half of online church. It's just crazy to me that this is life right now. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that I would find myself in the month of May still sheltering in place, still not being able to take my kids to the park or to school or to hang out with their friends or to see my family, my extended family. You know, it's just crazy to me. I was pretty sure that we would be, I was hoping anyways, that we would be done with this by now. But there's a plan in everything, I'm sure. God always has a plan. And honestly, I think that this is going to be one of the things that really gives us a boost. The other day, I saw a cartoon that really made me smile. And I will share it on the New Vision Facebook page at the end of service today. It was a depiction of God and Satan and the earth. And Satan says, "With COVID-19, I closed your churches." And God replies with, "On the contrary, I just opened one in every home." It was honestly the most positive thing that I've seen written about the last month and a half of craziness that we've had. And it really made me smile because, I mean, think about it, a church in every home. I truly hope that even after the social distancing is done, that we will continue to have church in our homes as well as in our church buildings. I feel like it makes a relationship with God so much more accessible to those who don't know Him. So many people are afraid to go to church because they don't know what to expect or how to act. Having church at home takes away that problem. People can be in their jammies if they want. If they're watching after a live stream has ended, they can even pause the service if they need to. That way, you know, you don't miss anything if you have to get a glass of water or run to the bathroom. They can text or call a friend to ask questions. And as important as it is for us to be together, I think this time of quarantine will turn out an incredibly strong, faith-driven body of Christ. Adversity is not something that's new to Christians. We've certainly faced it before. Honestly, Christians have faced adversity since their beginning. We have been reading from the book of Acts lately on our Bible journey this year. And the first chapter that we had in Acts this week was chapter 8. Do you know what the first title line is in chapter 8? In the New Living Translation of the Bible, it is, "Persecution scatters the believers." That sounds a lot like us right now. We've kind of been scattered out of our churches and into our homes. You know, it's like when you throw, you know, a rock into a pond that's filled with ducks, they don't just sit there, they kind of all take off. And that's sort of, that's sort of what we've done. You know, COVID-19 has been the rock in our duck pond. So starting with the second half of verse 1 of chapter 8, the Bible says, "A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria." So verse 3 then continues and says, "But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison." The believers of Christ at that time were literally being hunted and imprisoned. Now, I'm sure that it was pretty tempting to just hide away and stop telling people about Jesus. Their options at that point were to keep telling people about Jesus and face imprisonment and possibly death, or close their mouths and run away. A lot of people definitely lean more on the side of self-preservation and would run away. I mean, I get it. People, it can be scary. You're facing imprisonment and possibly death. That's terrifying. But that's not what they did. So verse 4 of chapter 8 tells us, "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city." Their lives were on the line, and the believers were still preaching the good news and bringing hope and joy to the masses. I love reading the stories in Acts where it talks about the apostles spreading joy, because they were literally running for their lives from town to town, and they still managed to bring in new believers and baptize people. That is literally like ultimate squad goals right there. Jesus certainly knew what he was doing when he picked his followers. Another thing that I have absolutely loved when it comes to reading in the book of Acts is when the Holy Spirit starts getting involved. You know, it talks about how the Holy Spirit descends on people. It is literally God reaching out his hand and touching people in a way that is obvious even to others. He did the exact same thing at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Literally, in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit came down. People could see it. Every miracle from God is amazing, but I love the way that he uses the Holy Spirit to connect with people and make it known that he is God and that there is no other God but him. In Acts 10, I get both the early Christians going against the grain and kind of being rebels, and the Holy Spirit descending on people. Peter is speaking with the Gentiles of Caesarea. Even though in Jewish tradition, it stated that Jewish people may not even enter the house of a Gentile person, God had appeared to Peter and told him to go with some Gentiles when they came to get him from Joppa, where he was at, and go to Caesarea with them. Now, this is a fairly long passage that I'm going to read for you guys, so hang in there with me. Bear with me as I read through it. Starting with verse 34, we're going to go all the way through verse 46 in Acts 10. So Acts 10, verse 34 says, "Then Peter replied, 'I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news of the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses to all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We are those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name.' Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God." These people, these Gentiles, were considered to be heathens by Jewish tradition simply because they were not Jewish. And I feel like God at this point is basically saying, "Listen, these are my children too, so quit your squabbling, love each other." And I love that. It may be wrong of me to say, but I love that even the early Christians who literally walked the earth with Christ, literally learned at his feet, needed to be reminded about what God wants, what God loves, what Jesus taught. The Jewish believers were actually amazed that God would extend his grace to the Gentiles as well as the Jewish people. And it makes me feel thankful that I am not the only believer of Christ who has messed up and thought the wrong thing at times. The early Christians were being forced to worship in their homes, to break boundaries, to walk a new path. And I truly believe that where we are right now in history is a very similar place. When the history books tell of the great coronavirus pandemic of 2020, I want it to be written that Christians came out of the woodwork and lifted people up across the world. I want it to be written that we could not be kept down just because we were kept apart. The body of Christ will not fail just because it is not gathered in a building on Sunday morning. We are the followers of the Messiah, the risen Lord, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. His power dwells within us, and that cannot be defeated by empty church buildings and social distancing. I feel a revival is coming to this country and to this world. I'm excited to be a part of it. Are you guys? I think that a change is coming. I think that we are seeing the power of God move in a way that hasn't been seen for probably generations. I think that we are going to see a changing of the tides in the coming months and the coming years. I have a bit of a challenge for you guys. Rise up. Rise up, my brothers and sisters. Rise up with me. Encourage those you know. Speak truth. Speak life to them. Spread the good news to everyone you find. We have right in our hands the power to spread the truth of Christ at lightning fast speed with simply the push of a button. We have in our hands a valuable weapon in the spiritual war that is taking place. I want you to do it. I want you to push the button. Show the enemy, the powers of darkness, how we fight our battles. Let the devil tremble from our cries of hallelujah. We are surrounded by the power and love of the Almighty God. And I can think of no better armor than that. As our ancient brethren, the very first believers, did, spread the good news and do so with joy. That's what we're here to do. This time, right now, we are able to connect to people in a way that we've been connecting with people, but not necessarily on this level. All of our interaction right now, other than that with immediate family and, you know, those of us who still have to go to work, it's all through our computers, through our phones. And we are able to take the word of God, the message of Christ, and send it across the world into homes of those who may not have known the love of Christ before. We can do this. I am so thankful to be alive right now, at this time, in this place, where we have the ability to share God in a way that the early Christians didn't. They had to walk from town to town. They had to speak individually to people, using their mouths, being in the same room. We can type a message and hit a button. I would love to see as many people as possible sharing the love of God, the love of Christ, throughout the world. Use your story. Use your testimony. Use the love that God has for you, that you have seen in your life, that you have felt in your life, and share that message. Spread the good news and do so with joy. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I am so beyond grateful to live in a time when I can spread your word with as little effort as humanly possible. Because that means that the more effort I expend, the more people are going to hear your word, are going to feel your love. Father God, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to serve you, to serve your kingdom. God, I feel blessed to have this church family that I have, these brothers and sisters in Christ that you have given me, these wonderful, loving, amazing people. Father God, I ask that as we're going about this next week, please lift up my brothers and sisters. Let them feel your love and your strength as they share your word, as they spread you throughout the world. God, I ask that even though you are moving right now through the world, that it just intensifies. That people are set on fire for you. Father God, show us how to bring this revival to fruition. Show us how to move your kingdom in ways that we could never imagine. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your love and for your strength. Thank you for helping us to fight these battles. God, we know that this battle has already been decided. This spiritual war that is currently being waged, it's already won. You are the winner, God. Your kingdom will be victorious. And God, I am so grateful that I can be a part of spreading your kingdom. That I can be a part of announcing that victory. Thank you so much, God. Please be with my amazing brothers and sisters in Christ this week. Help us to do your work. Help us to spread your love and your word. Thank you, God. We love you. In your most precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I hope that you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening. I hope that the next week is incredible. I hope it sets you on fire. I hope it's everything you could want in a week filled with spreading God's word. Thank you guys so much for joining us this evening. Have a wonderful week. I love you guys. Hang in there. Bye.
We are now ready to worship through giving. We worship through giving in several ways at New Vision. It's an important part of every one of our services when we gather together on Saturday nights. We recognize that every part of our time together as a community encompasses worship to God, and that worship through giving has many different ways that we express ourselves. First and foremost, we give through surrendering ourselves, and it's usually after a sermon time that we're given some challenges, some tools by the pastor, but not only that, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we're often stirred deep within ourselves to recognize the areas of further surrender that Jesus is asking for. We also understand that worshiping through giving means that we give back to God through tithes and offerings, that God has an abundance, that his bounty never stops, that it can't even be measured, because he is the one who owns all things, provides all things, controls all things, creates all things. And we're asked simply to share back with our church and with ministries so that we are partnered with God, recognizing that we don't ever become the owners of the possessions, but that we're the stewards of our possessions. And another way that we give is through prayer. We read in the Bible that our prayers become a sweet sacrifice to God. And our prayers can be those things where we praise God and bring glory to Him and just acknowledge the extent of His love and His goodness. And our prayers also include those things that are a struggle to us and the needs that we face. And you might ask, how is that worshiping? Well, we worship when we connect with God. That's what He wants. That's His greatest desire, is to be in relationship. And when we pray, we are being in communion with Him, relating to Him, and asking Him into our lives. So there's several ways that we do this at New Vision. And when we're together in a building, it can sometimes look a little different and be maybe even a little more conducive than when we're sitting listening to something on Facebook. But we have options and abilities. And the first one would be to share your prayer requests. You can do that a couple of ways. You can share them through email at churchoffice@vision1.org. Churchoffice, one word, @vision1.org. Or you can go on our website, newvisionpeople.org, and there's a Contact Us tab. And you can write your prayer requests there and share it that way. I am the one who receive all of these electronically. So if any of those are confidential and you only want me as your pastor praying, then just mark it that way. Otherwise, we have an amazing, dedicated group of prayer intercessors that meets every Sunday evening in a Zoom room. And we pray for the requests that we've received. And we keep praying for those until we know that they've been answered. And so you don't need to go through anything in your life alone. If you have a praise that you want to share, we'd love to hear that. It helps to talk about it. If you have a need, we'd love to help you carry that. If you are ready to share in your tithes and offerings, please don't feel pressured. We don't just want your money here at the church. What we want is for you to have the ability to worship God through giving. And we are in the business of making sure that we are following God obediently and meeting the needs that He brings our way. And you can again give through our website, the address of which is on the screen, and there is a giving tab. Or you can mail something to us, and the address is also on the website, but let me give that to you. It's New Vision Fellowship, P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, Oregon 97006. And then as far as giving and surrendering a bit more of our life, as soon as I pray, as soon as we pray together, we will go into a short time of reflection and response. And it is at that time that you can kneel wherever you are, kneel at your sofa, kneel at your dining room chair, kneel at your bed. Come before God with a full surrendered heart, because that will mean the most to Him when it comes to our worship through giving. Will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, we come before you in awe of your greatness, in awe that you are our provider, and so well aware that it is through you that we receive abundant blessings, that it is through you that we know you have control, and that it lessens our worry and lessens our anxiety, that you promise peace, that you promise to care for us, that you promise to bring others alongside of us so that we're not walking alone, that you yourself come and are present with us. And we worship you now in this time of giving. And I pray, Lord God, that you will take all of the things that are offered, the surrendered hearts, the surrendered finances, the surrendered prayers, and that indeed they will be a sweet fragrance of sacrifice to you. In Jesus' precious name.